8. One of my favorite psalms. Actually, they're all my favorite psalms, all 150 of them. You know, though, I really do, every year when I read through the whole Bible, I really look forward to reading the first 8 psalms. They're great, and they're really special. And they're really short, but they're packed full of good stuff. There's a lot of meaning in there, and if you want to be uplifted, read the first 8 psalms. And if you read them really slow, it might take you a minute to read them, okay? Because they're really short, which is another good part of reading them. But they're beautiful language, beautiful expressions of faith. In this 8th psalm, the psalmist starts off with a rhetorical question. How majestic is your name? Talking to God. I thought about that, and I thought, instead of asking that question, a question that the writer is trying to make a point with, why don't we ask that question of our own self? Except ask it this way. How majestic is God to you? How majestic is God to you? While you think about that, let me read the psalm. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You've made them rulers of the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray. Father God, we don't even have the capability of imagining what we don't know. It's so far beyond our comprehension, but Lord, you have peeled back the curtain a little bit through this psalm and through other ways, through your Spirit, to help us get a glimpse and a little understanding of how great you are and how much you love us. Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the psalmist starts off with talking about how God's glory is higher than the heavens. And when he was talking about the heavens, he was talking about the physical heavens, right? He's talking about the space and the sky and all that. And even back then, they had a little bit of a twinkling as to how great outer space was. But now that we have telescopes and stuff like that and satellites and all that business, you know, we know that space, it goes pretty far, I think, you know? I mean, Voyager launched in, I think it was 1977, and it finally made it to the edge of our solar system a few years ago, after all that time. And it just, and that didn't even put a dent in how far space is. And God's glory is above that. His name is above that. The name of Jesus is above that. If you think about it, Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God's glory on this earth. That's beyond the stars. that's the glimpse that we have of God, is Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't see Jesus Christ in person, but we see him through the words in the Bible. We see him landing the boat on the other side immediately, because we have this eyewitness testimony as to what God did and what he has done. And then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to continue giving us that visualization of the glory of God. And through both, we get a glimpse of Jesus' great love for us, spreading out his arms and dying on the cross to give us everlasting life, relief from sin, relationship with God, and then he raised from the dead so that death would be defeated. Oh yeah, Jesus has got some glory. Jesus is majestic. Would you agree? Amen. You see, the name of Jesus has power, immense power. And you know, the devil would love it if he could keep the name Jesus off of your lips, or maybe twist that so that when the name of Jesus comes off of your lips, it's not in praise, it's something else, right? But the name of Jesus saves. The name of Jesus. Whoever believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and is raised from the dead will be saved. No doubt about it. That's the power, the majesty of God. But then the psalmist goes on and he talks about the majesty of creation. And as I read it this time, I couldn't help but think of the mountains, right? You know, the purple mountains' majesty. And from the second verse of How Great Thou Art, you know, when it talks about the lofty grandeur of the mountains. I've got it wrong, but it's something like that. And I look around and I see the mountains. I see like the Rocky Mountains. I was telling Brad earlier this morning, as a kid, when we go camping, it's a little different than you go camping now. You know, we had this big old tent up in the Sierra Nevadas, and the beautiful mountains, and you can see you can't see anything but pine trees as far as you looked. And the beautiful river coming down. Man, that is something awesome. But also gazing at the mountains off in the distance when you see them with the snow up there, that is something special. And think about all the other beauty that God has gifted us with. You know, talk about the Grand Canyon and the trees. Does anybody else notice how vivid the green is in the trees this year? I have really noticed that. I mean, it's a really sharp contrast between that and the beautiful blue skies that God has gifted us with lately, except for today. And you know, the beauty of the fields and the magnificence of the ocean. Talk about the majesty of God. But then, as I was thinking about all of that stuff, I was thinking, you know what, that's all great and well and good, but is it really majestic? You know, is it really the grand and wonderful beauty that Jesus is? I mean, what did the Rocky Mountains ever do for me? Right? Nothing. What did Jesus do for me? That's the glory of God. That's the majesty of God, Jesus Christ, and his love for us. We consider creation and all the beauty around us, but man, Jesus. And to think God did all that just by speaking it into existence. Over a 6-day period of time, he said it, and bang, it happened. That's your Big Bang theory. I mean, Big Bang fact, right? God said it, and it happened. And then God pays attention to us. That's the other great thing about God's majesty. He pays attention to us. You know, God created everything, and really he started with dirt. Yeah, he just started with dirt. He says, let there be dirt. And there was dirt. I mean, he didn't say that exactly that way, but that's kind of how it worked, right? I think Genesis says, and let the waters recede and the firmament come up, right? King James Version. Firmament. I can't even say firmament. But there was dirt. And then God breathed into dirt, breathed the breath of life into to mankind, and we had life. That God would pay us attention like that. I remember as a kid, the elementary school that I went to had this great big dirt berm, and it was great for playing marbles and army men and cars on. And I realized, even though it was so much fun as I grew up, you know, we didn't spend as much time playing in the dirt as we used to. We didn't pay it as much attention. But yet God still, if you think about it, since mankind came from dirt, God is still paying attention to dirt. He loves dirt. He loves the unlovely and the unloved, right? He loves all of his creation. If you think that God doesn't love you, if you think somehow or another that you have sinned so much that God can't love you, let me tell you something. God loves you. And he is paying attention to you. You have his attention. And all you have to do is call to him. And he'll listen. And he'll respond. And he'll share with you the love that you truly need. I remember as a little kid, my brother would sit on my mom's lap. And this shows you how ornery he is, okay? And he's still ornery. He's not listening. So anyway, he would sit on my mom's lap, and she would be talking, and she wasn't paying enough attention to him. So he would grab her face and turn her whole head to look at him so that she would pay attention to him. Well, guess what? You do not have to grab God's face to get his attention. You know, God listens and responds always. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. You know, I get to thinking, you know, God will always answer the phone. He'll always pick up if you call and he'll answer the phone. And I got to thinking, well, the people these days, they don't know anything about picking up the phone, right? You know, I mean, if you notice that your phone hummed, you might take a look at it every now and then. So, but if you do pick it up and notice that something happened, you might send a text back, or you might call them back later on, or you might be one of those people that responds like 3 days later. You know, is anybody like that here? Oh, no, don't answer that. No, God doesn't do that. God listens automatically. He pays attention right now. It might be 2 days later when you hear. But that's because he's working things for your good. Amen. Because he loves you. But don't ever think that God isn't paying attention. Because he sure is. And do you know why God pays attention? Because he loves you. Now, you may have heard that before. Has anybody not heard that God loves you? You've probably heard that your whole life, that God loves you. You've probably heard it your whole life, that Jesus loves you. I have. But you know what? It doesn't do you any good unless you do something with that. It doesn't do any good unless you do something with that. Well, what do I do with that? What do I do with the fact that when somebody tells me that God loves me, that Jesus loves me? Well, you know, kind of busy right now. You know, my job, you know, I mean, things have been really tough at work, you know, lots of hours, and, you know, just the mental strain of that or the physical strain of that, it's just, you know, it's just taking a lot of my time. And, of course, there's the kids, you know, and, you know, the little rugrats, they, you know, take up a lot of time and attention. You know, they're always grabbing my face and turning my head, trying to get my attention. And so, you know, I'll get to that later. I'll take care of that business with Jesus later. You're not guaranteed later. Or the thought will be, I'll do that when I'm old. I'll take care of that God business when I'm old. I have heard 90-year-olds talk about the elderly as if they aren't. Nobody likes to admit that they're old, right? And I'll get to that later. I'll take care of that later. You have to do something with the fact, and when God says, I love you, you have to do something with that. You have to do something with that knowledge. Not doing anything is doing something with it. If you say, I'll take care of that later, you've said no to Jesus. You've said no to everlasting life. You've said, you are not majestic to me, God. So let me ask you, how majestic is God's name? How majestic is God to you? He created you. He created the beauty around you to tame for you, to provide for you. He pays attention to you. He's listening. Don't you just love it when someone's listening? And doesn't it drive you crazy when someone's not paying attention? And he loves you. And he gave his son for you. How majestic is his name to you? Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we praise you for loving us in such a great way. We thank you that you've done all of this for us. But yet, Lord, help us to remember that you're in the present. You're in this moment that you're waiting for us to call upon you. Lord, you, in an analogy, you metaphorically got your phone in your hand and you're sitting there watching for the bubbles that say a response is coming. But Lord, is it coming from us? Lord, I pray that we would respond to your great love for us today, this moment. Lord, there's no time to waste. There's no, I'm too busy for this. There's no, I'll get to that later. That's not how this works. If you truly love something, you people, we respond when it's important. And this is important, Lord. It's important that we respond to your love and to your grace right this moment. Someone once said that if we pile up all the tomorrows, all that we'll end up with is a bunch of empty yesterdays. Lord, let us not have to look back at the end of our days and see all of the times that we missed being with you. Thank you for your love and your grace, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And now is your opportunity to respond. This moment, this time, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, this is how you need to respond to what you've heard. You need to respond to the fact that God has created you, He's paying attention to you, and that He loves you. Now, right now, come as the Holy Spirit calls you.
Approaching the church,